every morning, Arabile Gumede and Nastasia Aronsa on Classic Business. Breakfast with MoneyWeb.
So the question is, just how far can Africa grow this year? Now, it's been significantly foretold that most of sub-Saharan Africa is able to get a higher percentage of growth, around 5%, if not more. But it does seem that the likes of South Africa, however, struggling to find any growth leverage. Where to from here? Let's chat to Martin Davies, the Managing Director for Emerging Markets and Africa at Deloitte, as we chat about the Deloitte Africa in 2019 outlook as well. Martin, it's been an interesting time for Africa because it continues to try and find itself. We've always been the next frontier, but it doesn't seem like we get there. Is there hope that we get there this time around?
Well, you know, we constantly have these, these very disruptive, very alarming sort of short-term events. Think Zimbabwe for the last few days. Think very unsettled, to say the least, elections in the Congo, the DRC, attempted coup in Gabon. And, of course, highly unfortunate terrorist incidents in Nairobi. And this just distracts us and almost erodes the general growth momentum that you referred to, that we need as a sub-Saharan African region. I think the more longer-term, dare I say, structural level, looking forward to 2019, the key things for us this year. I checked, there's 13 general elections taking place in sub-Saharan Africa in 2019, and arguably the two most important ones being ourselves and Nigeria, both of which are the bookends of the sub-Saharan African economy. So the question is, will political change or political settlement, because we look at it, result in structural reform of two sort of relatively speaking regional hegemon economies? And that's what the region needs. We have sub-Saharan Africa underpinned by three countries, Kenya, South Africa, Nigeria. One is firing, Kenya, and the two sizable ones, Nigeria and South Africa, certainly are not. And that's largely part of the problem.
Are we focusing, is it a leadership void then? Do you reckon that, you know, judging by the fact that, yes, we'll have elections this year, which will make it tumultuous, but even when there aren't elections, we still get to a point where, you know, there isn't sufficient or the right kind of leadership to get us over the line where we particularly need to. Is it a leadership void, you reckon?
Well, undoubtedly, politics sort of drives, underpins economic reform in frontier economies that we have here in Africa. I think at times we're too focused perhaps on the politics, but undoubtedly that does set the tone. But we've seen, on a very positive note, one of the key stories I think for us in 2019 is going to be the continuous robust growth trend of Ethiopia, the fastest growing economy on the continent, lunging, 8.5% or so. Why this come about, this growth spurt, strong tailwind, because of political change. The new Prime Minister from last year, Prime Minister Abiy, 42 years old, been called referred to almost as the Obama of Ethiopia. Ethiopia is going to continue to have a strong, robust growth, provide society hold, and that comes back to political solutions internally in what is a very ethnically charged environment in Ethiopia. I'm confident about it, but as you alluded to, we need countries often are desperate for this long overdue political change to unlock new sort of new ideas, new policies, and the new growth impetus. So at the very least, just intangible confidence. And that's what I think many, many countries in this part of the world require.
Yeah. They're going to require a whole lot more than that as well then, right? I mean, you have the international factors coming to play. Now that trade war with the United States and China, Brexit coming to the fore, the U.S. shutdown just hurts in terms of productivity for the U.S., but that could filter through into other economies as well. Last year, we saw the likes of Venezuela continuing to struggle, the likes of Turkey as well. Those international factors all phase into the rest of Africa as well, don't they? And then you have that oil price, which, as you've seen out, has certainly hurt prices as well, even in Zimbabwe.
You know, just focusing on a few things you mentioned, a bit of very important issues. Oil price is very much a West African story. So oil, we were talking toward the end of last year, November, $100 oil once again, and that was in the West African economy looking up. Oil now is back down to the mid-50s. So predicting the oil price is a bit of a exercise in fertility, I'm afraid. So, and we're seeing this very slow growth environment in West Africa because oil is the only show in town. There's nothing else really. There's totally non-diversified economies. I think Nigeria, Angola, stereotypically. So very subdued outlook, i.e. 1-2% type figures because of low oil price in West Africa. However, to go a line straight down the middle of Africa, the East Africa story is a very different story because low oil, similar to South Africa, is a tailwind to growth because you're, you know, lower oil price, about 25% of our and Kenya's import bill is oil. Low oil price is very deflationary, hence our petrol price is coming down, and that's a tailwind to growth that should support growth going forward in East Africa. The other issues you mentioned, I think, is the U.S., and at a conference yesterday we had a lot of discussion around, of course, U.S. just recently released its Africa policy, somewhat belatedly, $60 billion looking to make, you know, debt finance, equity finance into emerging markets and largely countering the Chinese. A whole other discussion as well, and I think particularly China's stimulus in its own economy looking to support strong growth. It's very good for the African commodity story because of the resource intensity of the Chinese growth model itself. So if China's stable, I think it's good news for the continent. Oil, of course, affects West Africa, but not East. And I think also you talk about emerging markets. I think the emerging market story is we often fear global contagion, if you will. I disagree to an extent because going back to 2008, it wasn't such a global financial crisis as it was a Western financial crisis. Asia was largely unaffected, as was Africa in terms of growth. So, yes, Brexit and all these other things make for good headlines, but the relative lack of globalization and plugging in of African economy into the global economy to an extent shields us.
Mm. What about the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement? That has been, you know, a major development over the last year or so. Is it time to finally get that up and running?
It's very, very important. We had a fantastic panel discussion yesterday involving DHL, Standard Bank, Mr. Price, you know, so finance, logistics, and retail, and talking about exactly how this will impact their business on the continent. Fascinating, and you know, you have this. It's a very looking at the free trade. What is free trade? It's about harmonizing codes, input codes, regulations, removing tariff and non-tariff barriers, improving infrastructure ultimately, which clearly we lack as a region, which and bad infrastructure is highly inflationary. And one of the questions posed to the former CEO of Mr. Price was, okay, so an article of clothing on the shelves on the rack in Johannesburg costs X amount. What would it cost in a store in one of your 13 countries, which you're present in sub-Saharan Africa? And the cost can be literally up to 50% more, purely because of bad infrastructure, the cost of logistics. So these are the kind of things that need to start to be addressed. And a major, major boon for retailers across sub-Saharan Africa, if only they can get the prices down, increase sales, because of these often arbitrary regulations in place and really, really poor infrastructure and logistics. I think that the ambition is grand, pan-continental free trade agreement. Perhaps we need to be, you know, bite-sized chunks and looking at sort of more local / regional solutions rather than just sort of pan-continental at this stage. Mm. But of course the ambition needs to be recognized.
Yeah. Also, we keep speaking about the, what is it, the fourth industrial revolution. That's quite big. How do we adopt that? How do we make sure we try to be as much at the forefront of that as possible?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these things are just buzz phrases, I'm afraid, Arabil, and it all sounds very sexy. But a fourth industrial revolution, many countries on our continent haven't experienced the first industrial revolution yet, to be quite frank. So, of course, it impacts us in South Africa. I think automotive sector and, you know, precision engineering of the like, but there's a technology and the fusion technology and how it sort of accelerates and impacts manufacturing processes and going forward. But many countries think, even again, Ethiopia amongst others, are trying to get on the first rung, if you will, the first rung of the ladder of industrialization. So let's talk about Industry 4.0 from a Pan-African and what is, of course, a very, very disparate, heterogeneous region. Is perhaps somewhat way premature if one is seeking to talk beyond just a South African case.
Yeah. Martin Davies, appreciate your time this morning, Managing Director for Emerging Markets and Africa at Deloitte, as we talk about just that Africa outlook for 2019. What do things look like? Hopefully it isn't as bad as 2018 and things get better from here on in. Let's get to your traffic.